is one that I believe our churches have let pass by. I was talking earlier about how serious that this place that I stand in is. But I believe also the thought before us tonight is something very, very serious. It is something that I've noticed in the last few years, and I'll be very honest with you. Here at Mount Calvary, we don't struggle with this problem. Not even in the slightest bit. I've not seen one person since I've been the pastor here ever have this problem. I don't expect for us to. I've seen it happen at other places. And really, there's two facets to this thought tonight. And if I could title the lesson, if you want to turn for us in your scriptures, the 28th chapter of the book of Exodus. And if I could title this tonight, it would be, "What Shall I Wear?" And that may sound a little silly, and that may sound a little off, but I'm going to tell you tonight, what we wear means a whole lot. You can disagree or you can agree with me, but I'm convinced tonight that we are to give God the best that we have. I'm convinced that God wants the best from the way that we act, from the tops of our heads to the bottom of our feet. I believe He wants us to give the best that we have. So when I give this title of "What Shall I Wear?", I told you I don't believe there's been a member or a visitor that comes this way that has ever had this problem. So I'm not really sure just exactly where this is going to land, but I'm going to say tonight, I believe that the man that stands behind this pulpit ought to act like a preacher, and he ought to dress like a preacher. Anybody that comes here to preach behind this sacred desk ought to wear the clothes befitting of a preacher. That is, sometimes I believe that we can get into an opinion with that, but I believe the Word of God tells us and gives us things to let us know how we should dress, especially as preachers who stand behind His sacred desk. It is very important that the world not look at us and see the world on our outside and then try to get up here and preach spiritual things. If we're going to preach the Word of God, we need to dress like a preacher. We need to let the world know that we've been called out, set aside to do the work that He has for us to do. Amen. I am very adamant about what a preacher wears. And you may say, "Preacher, what does it matter?" I'm going to tell you tonight, what we give God is very important. And I believe a man that tries to preach ought to give God the best that he has. Because God is giving us His best, therefore we ought to mimic what God has done for us. And what we've got for scriptures tonight is talking about the garments that they had to wear in the temple. Or the garments that they had to wear, Aaron and those that were there. When they went into the temple, it was a very sacred place. Those that could go into the holiest of holies, they had to dress a certain way to be in the presence of God. They had to dress a certain way so that they would fulfill the duties that they had to do. If you look in the scriptures, and we'll get there tonight, they had to wear a little veil so as long as they moved around in there, that they would know that they were still alive. And if they ever heard the bell stop ringing, they knew that the man had died and he was no longer living. So it mattered what they wore. And I'm going to say this tonight. I'm not a stickler about people wearing dress clothes to church. I believe the best that we have is the best that God wants. If that means overalls, then by all means, come in your overalls. But if the best that you've got is a suit and tie, I believe in wearing that because I believe that God has already given us the best that He has. So I believe in giving back to Him. I told you this message may not be very popular, but I believe it to be the truth. I believe that God wants us to give Him the best that we have. The 28th verse, 28th chapter of Exodus says this, "And take thou unto thee Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office." And he lists the names of Aaron's sons. And it says, "And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office.
And it says, "And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, and an ephod, and an ephod, or it's almost like an apron, a girdle, and that would be what would be wrapped around to keep everything situated together. A broidered coat, a mitre, or a hat. And they shall make the holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office." That he may go into the holiest of holies. That he may get into a position where God can meet with him. I believe this is almost foreshadowing of what happens to us today. You know, the times that God meets with us the best is when we're in shape for God to meet with us. You may say, "Preacher, what does that mean?" I don't believe if you live like the world all day and all week and the things that are on our outside, the things that cloud our outside body, I believe we've got to be cleansed of those things before God will meet with us. So often, people want their outside bodies. They go out and they do things that are sinful, but oh, they want God to bless them and to praise them for the things that they've done. And I believe very, very much so that we have to get in a condition, we have to be dressed to worship the Lord. And I don't mean just physically. I mean spiritually as well. I believe when we come to the Lord's house and any time that we pray, we ought to go to God in our best spiritual shape, so that He can use us. Told you this message has just a few facets to it. So hang with us if you'll stay with us for a little while. And it says, "And they shall take gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen." So these were very vivid, bright, beautiful colors that he had to wear. And it gives different things about these different pieces that he had to wear. "The ephod, and they shall make the ephod of gold and of blue and of purple, of scarlet and fine twined linen and cunning work. And shall have two shoulder pieces that are joined at the two edges thereof, and so it shall be joined together." So it had almost straps over its shoulder, and it went down into almost an apron-like thing. And it had to be a certain color. The Lord wanted it to give Him honor and glory. He wanted the colors to represent things of beauty. And I'm going to say tonight, if you could look at this, and if you want to look at it later, there's a very nice description, a very nice picture in my Bible of what He had to wear. I'm going to say tonight, what He was wearing was almost indicative of what we must have today as God's people. I say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" When God saves our soul, He takes something that's old, beat up, ragged, full of sin, and He covers it in fine linen. And I believe the Bible says that He takes our scarlet sins and makes them white as snow. I believe very much tonight we live in a body that is stained with sin. But what God can do, God can cleanse us of our sins and make us white as snow. And that's what happens when God saves a soul. And I'm thankful that He does. It talks about the girdle and the things that must be on it, the breastplate of judgment. And it has to have certain jewels and gemstones in it. It's got to be something that if you look at it, I believe it would be majestic and beautiful to look upon. I believe that there are very specific instructions on what they must wear. And I believe today the Lord gives us instructions of what we must wear. Thankful that He does. And we go on and we talk about the Urim and the Thummim and the blue robe of the ephod. And I'm not sure if I'm saying that word right, but that's how we're going to pronounce it tonight. But it's the blue robe. It's the thing that's under the ephod and the breastplate and the girdle. You would have a white robe underneath all of this. And then you would put on the blue robe. And then you would have the girdle and the breastplate and all of these things that were already attached to it. And then the mitre would go on his head. And the mitre says that it has to be engraved in it, "Holiness to the Lord. And thou shalt put it on a blue lace, that it may be upon the mitre, upon the forehead, by the forefront of the mitre it shall be." And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things with the children of Israel, shall hollow in all their holy gifts. And it shall always upon his forehead that they may be accepted before the Lord. And thou shalt embroider the coat of fine linen, and thou shalt make the mitre of fine linen, and thou shalt make the girdle of needlework. So I'm going to say tonight that this robe that he wore, this covering that he wore to go into the holiest of holies, it was something that took a lot of craftsmanship. It took a lot of work for this thing to be put together. I'm going to say tonight that going into the holiest of holies was the best place in that time that anybody could ever go. The only people that were allowed there was the high priest. In that day, the only one that could actually get in touch with the Lord in this time period would be to go into the holiest holies area of the temple, and God would rain down there and His Spirit would meet there. And I believe if we read over in the Scriptures, there were times that God's Spirit met so strongly that smoke filled the room and the doorpost began to shake. God met there in a great, great way. So I believe when God made these specific instructions, I believe He made them to be followed. And you're going to say, "Preacher, do you mean we should be wearing that today? Should I be up here in all of those garments, dressed in that way?" I'm going to say tonight, when the Lord took the cross, there was no more temple. There was no more holiest of holies. We all had contact with the Lord. Uh-oh, that opens it up to a whole lot of people. That opens it up to everybody that has ever been saved by the grace of God. They finally have a connection to the Lord. Every saved person has the ability to get in touch with the Lord. Every single one of them. There's not a saved person that is excluded from being able to talk to the Lord. Now, sometimes we get in a position where we can't talk to the Lord as freely as we'd like to, but that's not His fault. That's our fault. But as I began to think about these instructions, I began to ask myself, what shall I wear? What should I wear? I'm glad tonight, first of all, that upon this old sin-stained soul, this sin-stained soul of mine, it has been covered by the blood. I'm wearing the Lord's blood upon my soul, and there's not one thing that can take it away. And I'm glad of that. I'm wearing that proudly. I want the whole world to know that I'm a child of God. Amen. I want the whole world to know that. And I believe those in the Old Testament that were a high priest, they were set aside for their work. Brothers and sisters, we must be set aside for our work. As a minister of God, I'm going to say this tonight. I believe those that have been called to preach ought to act and dress in the ways of a preacher. What are the ways of a preacher? I'm going to say, if you're going to have the office, you ought to walk worthy of the office. Brothers and sisters, there's not one thing about me that is worthy to fill the office of a pastor. But I believe one of the things that I must do is be a set apart person. When the church ordained me to be a pastor, they set me aside to do a great work. Amen. And brothers and sisters, people are going to argue with this, and they're going to say, does a suit coat and a shirt and tie make you a preacher? No, it does not. But I'm going to tell you something. The best thing that I have is what I wear today. This suit is not the most expensive suit there ever has been. It's not the one that comes from the big designer stores. It's not stuff that Donald Trump and Barack Obama would wear, and I don't care. What I've got is the best that I have. And in order to stand and proclaim the Word of God, I've got to be in the best spiritual shape that I'm in, and ought to be dressed in a way that makes people know that I'm serious about the job. If you go into a job interview and you're going to work for a CEO of a company, you wouldn't go in shorts and a t-shirt and expect them to give you the job. Now, I'm not saying today, I'm going to say this. When I was younger, my parents and grandparents would have knocked me off a seat if I'd have walked in with shorts and a t-shirt on. That just was not allowed in our family. We wore dress clothes. They always made sure that we had them because they made sure we dressed appropriately for God's house. And if the Lord will be our helper, we're going to try to get there in a few moments of time. But if you go in, and I were to go in for this interview, and God being the interviewer, and I went in with my t-shirt and my shorts on, and I said, "Lord, I'm going to be a pastor in one of your churches," I believe He'd look at me and He'd say, "Not in one of mine, you're not." Now, I believe the best that we have, we ought to give God. If that's the best that I've got, I believe in giving that to the Lord. But that's not the best that I have. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to say tonight, standing behind this book board is more than the clothes that I wear. It's about something far greater than just me. It's about representing the one that helps me. When I stand behind this book board, it's not about Taylor. It's not about you. It's not about this church. It's about the Lord. And I must dress in a way that is according to God's holy word. Now, do I believe we need to dress in this way? Why, sure not. I probably wouldn't be able to move half as quickly as I do if I had to move around in a robe. It would probably trip me over and I'd be falling all over the place. But I'm going to say tonight that there was a model given for the best that the high priest had, and this would have been the very, very best. It was had a lace around it. Oh, I can just imagine it being beautiful. It was something that I believe everybody would have wanted to wear then, the colors in it. The blue and the scarlet and the purple. Those would have been some very, very expensive dyes in that time. They would have been very, very expensive. So I'm convinced that it cost somebody quite a bit to be able to wear this robe or this attire that they had on. And I'm going to say tonight, the reason that I can be covered by God's blood is because He gave His Son for me. He gave the best that He had to cover my soul. And I'm going to say tonight, when I come into His presence, I want to be dressed in a way that He will be able to be glorified in. Now, I've seen some preachers, and there have been times that I've had to preach without a tie on. And guess what? I've been able to preach in just a way that God has loosed me and given me liberty to preach. And I believe that's quite all right. Sometimes the Bible says to be instant, in season and out of season. And sometimes we don't always get to choose when we're going to preach or when we're going to deliver a message. I'm going to say this. Being prepared means going with the intention that you have something to preach and you're wearing the best clothes you got. I go to revivals a lot, and this doesn't happen very often, but it happened to me a few weeks ago. I walked into a church that was having a revival, and the preacher said, "Tonight's your night." Just so happens, I had on my suit and my tie. I was dressed like I normally did to go to church. So I was able to mount the pulpit dressed in a way that would have been acceptable to the Lord. I believe what I have on tonight is something that I believe every preacher should stand behind the pulpit with. Now, you can tell tonight that I am sweating up a storm. Honestly, I'd probably turn into a puddle of water if everything didn't hold together quite right. That's just how I am. The coat's not coming off. Because I believe very much so that what I'm doing tonight is very, very important. If the world is going to take us seriously as God's people, we've got to dress in accordance to the way that would be acceptable to the Lord. Amen. I believe everyone here tonight is dressed in a way that would give God honor and glory. But I'm going to say tonight, there's a world full of people that do not even understand the word modesty anymore. Don't understand the first thing about it. You can look on social media and the television, and girls are dressed with no clothes on, and men are the same way. I believe in being modest before the Lord. I believe in us dressing in a way that gives God honor and glory. I believe that very much so, and it's something that's been lacking in our churches, in our lives for so long. Sister Nita or Sister Karen, Sister Kathy, one of them shared something on Facebook a few weeks ago about when you went to sew and you had to have on your perfect dress and you had to have your house all clean and you had to have everything ready so you could go and sew in peace. And I thought that was pretty funny, really, to think about people dressing like that so that they could go and sew if they were going to take that much pleasure or time to make sure they could get ready to do that. I believe if you could have seen those people back then, they were probably dressed to the best of their ability. Now, where I grew up at Pleasant Hill, there was a lot of men that wore blue jeans and overalls, and you know what? That was the best that they had. But they weren't the ones that they'd worked in all week. They were ones that had been set aside so that they could be their Sunday go to meeting clothes. They were the best things that they had. I believe in giving God our best. When we come into the house of the Lord, it is imperative that we are able to be used of the Lord. And you're going to say, "Preacher, you don't believe that people can be used of the Lord in everyday clothes." I've already told you. I believe when we come into the house of the Lord, it's a place to be respected. They respected the temple. Before they would have an offering, they would cleanse the temple of everything. They would anoint things with oil. They would burn incense and they would try to clear out everything that they thought could hinder their service to God. And I thought about that today. Sometimes when I come into the Lord's house, I've got everything on my mind besides worshiping the Lord. You say, "Preacher, you ought to not tell that. You're the pastor of the church." Sometimes the world gets a hold of us and it tries to clothe us with its sin, with its thoughts, with its acceptability things that people think's all right today. We've got so many things that are going left and right in our world. We need to keep on the straight path and keep going toward the Lord and what He would have for us to do. So it's easy sometimes to be able to come into the house of the Lord with everything on our mind but serving the Lord. But those that were in the Old Testament, when they went in, they had to make sure that they were ready. What they were fixing to do was really important. It was sacrificing things to God. That's no different today. When we come into the Lord's house, we're here to worship. We're here to lift God up. We're here to exalt Him and be His people and be His workers. I've never seen anybody that went to a construction job that had on a swimsuit. I believe it would be hard for them to be able to perform their duties in anything other than what the job called for. I've heard preachers recently say it didn't matter what you had on, just as long as you were preaching. I'm going to contend that that is false. I'm going to contend that that is wrong. May I say, "Preacher, give me some Bible on it." I believe the Bible tells us, you can read over in Romans, present your bodies a living sacrifice. May I say, "Preacher, the clothes that I have on are not my body." What you put on your body matters. In the Old Testament, there were certain things you could do and could not do to your bodies that God found acceptable. I believe there are things today that we do to our bodies that God does not find acceptable in His sight. And I believe the clothes that I wear are ways that people can know what kind of person that we are. I truly believe that. I believe if you tell somebody, there was a friend of mine that shared a video. I don't believe it was on. I don't really know where I was looking. And it was of a preacher that was preaching in a big church. I think it was in Dallas, Texas. And he didn't have a pulpit and he didn't have a Bible. He had a table and a stool that he sat on, and he had on a beach t-shirt and cut-off jeans. Now, some people today might say, "I want to go to that church. They're hip, they're cool. They can go to church in whatever that they want to." I'm going to say this tonight as well. If people will come to God's house and they're willing to serve the Lord, sometimes, and I'm not ever going to turn anybody away for what they're wearing when they come to God's house. I don't believe in that. I believe when people come here, we need to treat them, love them, nurture them, and care for them. But I also believe in teaching them and letting them know what we believe about modesty, what we believe about dressing for the Lord. Like I said, this church does an outstanding job of doing that. The Bible tells us for the women to teach the younger women how they ought to treat their bodies and act themselves. And I believe this church is a shining example. And it will be when God begins to send the youth in here. It will be a shining example how people ought to conduct themselves. I have never been so proud of a church in all of my entire life. When we can come in here for a business meeting and conduct ourselves conducive to the way that God would be pleased with. That's a blessing. When I say, what shall I wear? I believe there's a whole lot of things you and I can wear that do not make us fit for the job. I believe when we stand behind this sacred desk, I believe we ought to have on the things that make us fit for this job. I want to read for some verses of Scripture over in the book of Leviticus in the 7th or 8th chapter. Leviticus in the 8th chapter in the 5th verse. Again, we're dealing with the priest's garments. And this is Moses speaking. And it says, "And Moses said unto the congregation, this is the thing which the Lord commanded to be done. And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. And he put on him the coat and girdle, and girdled him with the girdle, and clothed him with a robe, and put on the ephod upon him. And he girded him with the curious girdle of the ephod, and bound it around unto him therewith. And he put the breastplate upon him also. He put the breastplate, the Urim and the Thummim. And he put the mitre on his head, and upon the mitre, even upon his forefront, did he put the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord commanded Moses." And this is where they begin to anoint the tabernacle. And it says, "And Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was therein, and sanctified them. And he sprinkled thereof upon the altar 7 times, and anointed the altar and all his vessels, both the laver and his foot, to sanctify them. And he poured of the anointing oil upon Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify him. And Moses brought Aaron's sons and put coats upon them and girded them with the girdles and put bonnets upon them as the Lord commanded Moses." So they were fixing to perform the sin offering. They were fixing to go in and they were fixing to offer up the things that would be for their sins. And I'm thankful tonight that this was also another account of dressing for the occasion. I believe very much so that they had a rhyme and a reason behind why they did what they did. And I'm going to turn over to the New Testament. If the Lord will continue to be our helper tonight, we certainly always need His help. I believe the verses of Scripture will be in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter. In the 4th verse, and this section of this Scripture is called a holy priesthood. And I believe this is talking about men of God that have been set aside to preach the gospel. I believe that. And I believe very much so. People have pastors and they have preachers and different things of that nature. I'm going to be honest with you tonight. If the pastor does not act accordingly to the job, can you expect the congregation to do the same? I don't believe in a do as I say, not as I do belief. I don't believe that at all. I believe in following the Lord and doing what the Lord says. I believe in doing things the way that God wants them done. I believe very much that we must do the things the way that God wants them done. I'm going to say something about our services. We do a very good job, and I believe that God blesses us to be able to have services in the Spirit and in the truth. I believe that very much. I believe that that's the way that God wants things done. I believe when they went in to the holiest of holies, and they had done all of the sanctifying and all of the cleansing, the Lord found favor in that. The Lord was happy with that. I'm going to be honest with you tonight. I don't believe that we need to start coming in here and running oil down the walls to anoint them. I believe those things are far past. But I will say this. Before
before we come to the house of God, we should be prayed up. We should be in a cleansed state to be able to worship the Lord in the Spirit and truth. We ought to be acting as if we're going into the holiest of holies. I believe this is God's house. I believe that. I believe that very much so. Your house and my house, we have those. If you come to my house, you just do whatever you want to make yourself at home. But this is God's house, and I believe in respecting the Lord's house. I truly do. I believe this is a place that He is lifted up and exalted, and I believe it should be respected as such. And I believe this church does a good job of that as well. I'm thankful for that. It says in the fourth verse, "To whom coming is unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, Behold, I lay Sion, a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And the stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul." I believe that he was talking to men of God, but I believe he was talking to his people as a church as well. It says, "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation." I've never seen kings and queens that didn't dress as king and queens. Now, I'm going to say this again. I don't believe we need to come in here next Sunday with our robes on and our big hats and our big sticks ready to show off to the world that we're kings and queens. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something tonight. I am nothing in the sight of God. I believe that. But because of what God has done, He has cleaned up the outside and the inside, and that should radiate to the outside. It should show the world that we are a chosen generation. It says a peculiar people. We ought to be set apart from the world. We ought to be different from the world. And brothers and sisters, we ought to dress different from the world. Now, if you see me Monday through Friday, more than likely through the summer, you'll probably see me in a t-shirt and a pair of shorts. Now, the shorts that I wear are ones that do not... They are down to the knee. They're in the perfect way that you could wear them that would be modest. And I believe in that. Some people don't believe you should do that as a preacher, to wear shorts. I'm going to say today that those things, I believe the world needs to see a difference in us, and I believe that they will when we do the things that we do in a way that is becoming of God. I believe that. I believe you can dress for the Lord every single day. I have classes on Wednesday afternoon before I come here. And most of the time I have to wear my dress clothes that I'm coming to church in. And sometimes they give you a little look like, "What in the world is wrong with this fool? Why is he wearing a dress shirt, dress slacks, and penny loafer shoes? What is wrong with him?" And if they ever ask, I just say, "Well, I'm the pastor of a church in Nashville, and I have church after a while." And I had one guy ask me one day, he says, "You have to wear that on a Wednesday night." I said, "I don't have to wear it." I said, "This is what I get to wear when I go to church." I say, "It's the best clothes that I have, and I'm going to serve Him." And I believe that. He looked at me and he said, "Well, I guess you're right," and walked on. But I am very much an advocate for people dressing for the Lord. Most of you all have heard my spiel about wearing your coat when you're behind the book board. I believe that. You may say, "Preacher, that's not in the Bible." And guess what? You can't find in the Bible where it says you've got to have a suit and tie on. Can't do it. Some people say, "Well, if it doesn't say it, we shouldn't do it." But I'm going to say this. When God makes us His people, He expects us to act like His people. Amen. And I believe that. And I've told you before and I've told you tonight that I believe this is a very serious thing that we're doing here. I believe that my job as a pastor includes preaching the Word of God, rightly dividing the truth. I believe that. I believe part of my job is going out, visiting the sick, talking to the sick, witnessing to people, pointing them to the cross everywhere that I go. I believe it's part of my duties to go out into the highways and hedges and point people to this church. I believe it's my job to visit members and go see members and encourage members to come back. But I'm going to tell you who I represent. Not only do I represent God, but I represent Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. And I believe very much I want people to know that this is a place that is a serious place, that is serious about God. And I'm very much an advocate for men acting like men when it comes to the work of the Lord. He doesn't call the qualified, but He equips those that are unqualified. He equips every single one that He's ever called to preach His Word. And as long as I'm preaching, as long as I'm trying to fulfill this office that God has so graciously allowed me to fill, I will continue to let people know that we're serious about what we're doing. And as a minister of the gospel, I want the whole world to know about this Jesus that I have living in me. It's important. And I say, preacher, why did you have to preach this message? I don't know. It may be, and I told you it's nothing that we deal with here. We don't have this problem of people not dressing modestly to come to the Lord's house. I guess maybe it was an encouragement to let's keep on doing for the Lord. Like I said, I'm not going to turn anybody away from coming here and hearing the gospel and being saved. But I believe the Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. I believe part of our teachings is teaching people how to live like Christian people. I believe that. We get them saved and then we throw them out of the world and say, good luck, have fun, hope you don't sink. I believe we need to teach them. We need to make disciples of people that have been saved by God's sweet grace. I want to say this tonight and then I'm going to try to close. I'm walking in a bag of bones. It is dirt. You may say, preacher, you're talking awful hard about yourself. The Bible says that from dust we are, and from dust we shall return. This is just an old prison of clay and a few dirt particles smashed together to make what you see before you. It's not the greatest looking thing that there ever has been, and I don't claim to be, but God made me in His image, and I believe that's spiritual as well. But I'm going to say this. Someday after a while, I'm going to take off this earthly robe of sin and dirt and clay and bone, and I'm going to put on my robe of white when I enter the portals of God. I'm going to have a new body. We sing that song, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Praise the Lord, I'll have a new body. Oh, I'm going to have a new body someday after a while. This one that's racked in pain and misery and sin, it'll be laid down. And I'll get that new body that will be able to live with the Spirit for the rest of eternity. I believe I preached a sermon here a few weeks ago, a couple months ago, about they shall walk with them in white. Those that have been able to be in the bride, it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful thing. And they're going to be dressed in white apparel, white robes. I don't believe every saved person is going to be in the bride. But I do know this. Those that are there will be the pure ones of the church. The ones that have been able to be with God, work with God, have pushed for the Lord all of their life. And I believe they're going to walk with the Lord in white. What shall I wear? I hope the Lord allows me to be in His bride. I don't believe that you can know down here whether you're going to be in the bride, but I'll say this. I believe when we get there, either way, it's going to be wonderful. But every single one of us as God's people ought to be striving to be in that number that is His bride. What shall I wear? May God bless you, is our prayer tonight. I hope it's been helpful to someone.